and we see it as we reflect on the very mystery of our most blessed mother, the mother of God, all given here in this episode. And again, we must repeat and reflect over and over again, just as Our Lady did, as St. Luke will point out later on in the Gospels, not long from here, but he does twice, actually. She pondered over it, kept it in her heart, and pondered over it, reflected on it, over and over. We need to do the same. It's such an awesome mystery. And this is the mystery that culminates in the birth of our Lord in Bethlehem. We start with the very beginning here. Note, it is said, the evangelist tells us, the angel, the archangel, is sent to a town of Galilee to a virgin whose name is Mary. Already we have almost everything right there in that little phrase. A virgin who remains a virgin. And her name is Mary. That name already alone signifies the most exalted, the vast, vast as the sea. This is who we are talking about here. And what we are talking about here can only be said of Our Lady, no one else. We come to the greeting of the archangel. Hail, full of grace. And it's important to maintain that translation. There you have the fullest of what the angel was saying. Hail, meaning he is greeting royalty. That was a word in the Latin, it's Ave, which was used for greeting the royalty, the emperor, the queen, the king. It's not for any average person. Right? He's acknowledging she's queen. Hail, full of grace. No one has ever been greeted with that greeting since before Our Lady or since Our Lady. No one. Yes, no one could be called full of grace. Conceived without original sin. Conceived without sin. Only our Blessed Lady. This, of course, to prepare for what was now about to take place. No wonder then Our Lady, who is completely humble, and we'll see that again in the end of this passage, is troubled at this greeting. Because no one has ever heard that greeting before. Hail, full of grace. What does this mean? And then the angel tells her, do not be afraid. And he calls her by name, Mary. Many times we see that in scriptures. You'll see that. When the person is called by name, perhaps the most prominent example of that is at the resurrection when our Lord calls Mary Magdalene by name. And it's at that point she recognizes him. Not before. But it's a way of calming the person. And he does it to her. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor, and accentuate, that's the same word as grace. See, you have grace with God. You have found favor with God. You are someone who is most exalted. Because now, behold, you will conceive and in your womb and bear a son. Two actions. A direct repetition, basically, from the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, a child. You shall conceive in your womb and bear a son. But what he's telling her also, this is what she's going to question in a moment, but that's what she's questioning. She's going to remain a virgin. Here again, something that cannot be said of anyone except our Blessed Lady. She's the only one who remains a virgin, yet is mother. We go on. He tells her now with the name, you shall give him the name Jesus. And he tells us why. Oh, no, it doesn't say it here. All right, but it's named Jesus. And why Jesus? Perhaps that's the one he tells Joseph. Because that means the one who saves. The one who is to save us our sin. Here is the Redeemer promised to Adam and Eve and the serpent in the Garden of Eden. You shall name him Jesus. And then the angel describes him. The Son of the Most High, the Lord God, will give him the throne of David, his father. So he's a direct descendant of David. He's king. No wonder that Our Lady is Queen. Hail, Queen. She's the Queen Mother. This is what's being brought out here. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever. Okay, we go on. Now Our Lady questions, how can it be? She's a consecrated virgin. Up till now, this has been the will of God for her. And that's all that meant. That's all that made any matter to her. The will of God. She was going to be completely conformed to His will. Completely. How is it that she's going to remain a virgin, yet be the mother of, not just mother of anyone, but the mother of God? How is she going to do that? How is that going to happen? She's not questioning that it will, as Zacharias did shortly before. Right? She's not doubting the word of the angel. Not at all. But simply asking how this is going to be. How is it that I am to fulfill the will of God? That's what counts, the will of God. And He explains it to her. All right. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Here we have the first revelation in scriptures of the Blessed Trinity, all three persons of the Blessed Trinity. Because then the Son of God will be the child to be born, that is of her, then will be the Son. You called holy the Son of God. The Son. So we have the Holy Spirit who will come upon her. It is by the power, by Him, she will conceive in her womb. It's a miraculous incarnation. It's a miraculous conception, virginal conception. So she remains a virgin. Then the power of the Most High, the Father, will overshadow you. Right? That overshadow is the exact same word that's used in the book of Exodus when it speaks of the column of fire by night and the column of cloud by day. That's the exact same word that overshadows them, that comes down and gives full glory to the temple, or to the tent, which was the temple, spoken of also in the first reading we heard today. Right? The power, the glory of the Almighty which overshadowed it, come down upon it. That's what's happening here. Because Our Lady is that most worthy temple for His Son, the God Himself, the whole glory, all of it. That means without losing His divinity, the Son takes flesh, takes our human nature from her and is conceived by her in her womb. And then the angel gives her the sign that she didn't even ask for. She didn't ask, because Our Lady didn't doubt. But He gives her a sign just the same. Your cousin Elizabeth, who is old now and barren, is now in her 6th month. She's pregnant. She's to have a child. Of course, that child is John the Baptist, the precursor of our Lord, the one who will prepare His way for all the people. He gives her that sign. Now we have Our Lady's response. Thanks be to God she gave it. Otherwise, we'd be in lots of trouble now. Thanks be God, she gave it, she obeyed. Fiat. Listen how she says it. I am the handmaid of the Lord. I'm the littlest one. Right? That handmaid comes from the Latin word ancilla, means ring. The one who is attached to the servant with a ring. She makes herself the lowliest. I am the lowliest. I am just simply His servant. I do. She says, be it done unto me. She's saying she's the very lowest one. Yet she is the most highest, most exalted human being there ever could be. She is the mother of God. That's what took place at this moment. She became the mother of God Himself, the Queen Mother. Not only mother of God, but in the order of grace, mother of us all. She understood what that meant. Being the mother of God, meaning being the mother of the Redeemer. Well, the angel actually told her, He will be the one who saves, Yeshua, Jesus. That's the name she used to give Him. Which means she too is going to stand near that cross when our Lord suffers and dies and carries out the redemption. She will be there too. She is suffering it too. She knew and understood that, and she accepted it willingly. Unhesitatingly, she accepted that mission, which would be the most intense, the highest, most exalted mission anyone could ever accept. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. She's ever obedient to the will of God, ever conformed, a complete, total faith in him that he will carry out exactly what he has promised, and that she will endure all it will take to, as it were, help him do the same. All that it will take to be that part, her part, to accept and fulfill her mission as Mother of God and our Mother in the order of grace. What a great, great gift we have from God himself, this exchange. More on that as we go through the Christmas season. But what a great, great, awesome gift. What a great, awesome mystery. Let's reflect on it frequently. Be faithful to the Angelus. Pray it all three times each day, morning, noon, and night. And reflect on that great, great, awesome mystery. That of the incarnation of our Lord in the most chaste, most pure womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the great exalted mission she has as Mother of God and Mother of us all. And let us turn to her for every grace we need to fulfill our mission as well, to achieve our salvation. Praise be Jesus and Mary.